Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you, and it definitely is another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my friends, the Rev Docs, Bill and Cher Holton. Hi, guys.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and indeed, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it very definitely is another beautiful day in my consciousness. This is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton. And as you guys know, we are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry, an events-driven unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, Y-O-U, I emphasize, universalprosperity.com.
And you can find us real quick by going to our shortcut link, ucfyp.com.
Yeah, so we can clearly say it's a beautiful day in our consciousness around the virtual kitchen table, can't we?
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. And so I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my absolute word, as well as the things that I'm doing on Zoom, speaking, teaching, but definitely not in person yet. And I am happy about that.
Woo-hoo. And you're finding out how to be in two places at one time,
and
right?
I'm finding out how to be in two places at one time. Sometimes I speak at two churches on a Sunday morning.
You know, Paul, when I did a speaking program for corporate years ago as John Doe, Cher had ditched the state flags on my jeans, and I was the only speaker in the country at the time who could speak in all 50 states at the same time.
Oh, that is funny. So Metaphysical Romp 2 around the kitchen table is all about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And we don't tell you which is which. Well, we know that you have the right to decide which is which. So this is part 4 of an interesting look at prosperity, which was a little prompt to, and now we're planning it a little bit. So we figure we have a couple more sessions of Metaphysical Romp 2 that will focus on prosperity. And so today we are focusing on some quotes from the just published book, How to Achieve Universal Prosperity, Y-O-U Universal Prosperity. And I am delighted you guys are book writing machines. And I'm going to put you on the spot here. What book number is this?
Number 74.
Oh my gosh. That's corporate and non-corporate, right?
Yes.
74. Wow. Congratulations. All right. I really think you guys ought to say a little bit about the book in general. So take it away.
We are so excited about this book because it's been in the writing for a long time. What happened for us was we were teaching prosperity principles. We had learned them through Unity and we'd been working them and using them. And we found ourselves creating these great denials and powerful affirmations and visualizing vividly. We had the emotion and the color and everything involved. And we created vision boards and created our own brand called Dreamscapes. We tithe religiously, giving of our time, our talents, our treasures. We bought into this or something better justification. That was how we dealt with things that didn't happen as they were expected. But what happened was one day we just kind of looked at each other and said, you know, this stuff we're teaching and practicing, it's not working by any kind of sustainable measure. It's like we can't replicate it. And we teach it, but we're kind of found ourselves lulled into all these activities and realizing the tools weren't really working right. So that felt, of course, like some kind of blasphemy to us to say that about the very things we were teaching, but we made a decision and literally stopped teaching prosperity totally and started what has turned out to be about a 5-year deep dive into what is prosperity? What do prosperous people do? Prosperous people who are spiritually enriched and happy as well as being prosperous. What makes them different? What are the principles that kind of set them apart? And what we've come up with is this whole system of creating what we call universal prosperity, Y-O-U, universal prosperity, that really looks at aligning our human nature with our divine nature and coming up with the highest possible level of health, happiness, inner peace, and financial freedom. Those are the four outcomes that you get as your benefit when you practice these principles. So we've kind of taken some of the old principles, turned them on their head, rewritten them into what we call universal prosperity principles that become the guidelines for what you do.
Yep. And it's what Cher said.
Okay. So say those four things again, slowly.
Okay. So we have health, happiness, inner peace, and financial freedom.
Yeah. So what I want to do, I'm going to tie this in a little bit. Usually what happens when someone's practicing the prosperity principles and they're not working, the assumption is made that it's not the principles. There's something wrong with the person, that people are doing something wrong, because the principles, the prosperity principles as taught in the Unity books, are never questioned. Mm-hmm. The works right. of Myrtle and Charles Fillmore are never questioned. And so I really see what you guys did is questioning the answers that you believed, right? And yeah. that you practiced wholeheartedly and you didn't quite get the results you thought. So this is really you demonstrating a fundamental teaching that actually Bill brought to us, and that is to question our unquestioned answers. And of course, it's our unquestioned answers that are more dangerous than our unanswered questions.
Absolutely.
And so congratulations. Now, we know from the last couple of weeks that we were doing that part of the problem is people didn't understand what Charles Fillmore was saying because there were these vague terms that no one bothered to learn about. And so I'm going to invite you to take it away. I invited you to choose a couple paragraphs to share with people, and hopefully they'll get as excited as I am and will consider purchasing the book.
Oh, that'd be great. And we will put a link on the website under resources. It'll be a link to take you to an information page where it tells you a lot more about the book, and it is available in softcover, PDF, ebook form, and Kindle format. So
yeah, and when you post this show, share, be sure and put that link in the description.
Okay, will do.
Okay. Yeah, that would be really important.
Thank you.
And you can tell them once again how to get to it now verbally.
Right. Oh yeah. If you just, well, actually it's on Amazon too. You can just go to Amazon.
Oh, so just go to Amazon.
But if you want to the information sheet that tells you all about it and gives examples from the book, just go to holtonproductmall.com. Holtonproductmall.com under books, and it's the first one. We just put it as the premier book.
Excellent.
Highlighted. Yeah.
So let's take it away.
All right. So where do we want to start?
It's up to you. Okay. Doesn't matter.
I want to hit, based on what Paul just said, one of the things that isn't questioned is the tenfold return. And I think it would be kind of fun to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because our philosophy, and this is a quote from the book, be aware that claiming a tenfold return, a hundredfold return, or simply some kind of return, just because we give something to someone, isn't a consciousness of giving. It's a consciousness of entitlement.
Yeah. And it's a quid pro quo, isn't it? If I give this, the quote unquote universe will give me 10 times, 100 times, or some sort of return. And folks, that just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's really frustrating because we've talked to some people who have literally put themselves in financial jeopardy by giving what they didn't have.
Yes.
They gave with the sole intention, boy, if I give this, I'm going to get a 100-fold return. And when it doesn't come, then they've made commitments based on that expectation because they believed it so strongly. So it had nothing to do with their belief level. It had some faultiness with the principle they were practicing.
And one of the key practices that we used for vetting the prosperity principles is called evidence. Just because someone makes a promise or says something happens, well, okay, where's the evidence that that actually did happen, that that's based on truth? So it's important that when you listen or hear someone, whether it's on YouTube or at a service or whatever, make a claim, it's nice to have the evidence to back up that claim.
And wouldn't it be great if someone made that claim that the person heard it said, okay, I'm going to do exactly what you said. And if I don't get the return, will you guarantee it?
There you go.
Yes, there you go.
True. Yeah. That's what guarantees are all about.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And so our philosophy is if it's a principle, if we call it a principle, it should work unhesitatingly when it is practiced correctly.
Right. So principles have to be practiced and applied. Laws work whether or not you're thinking about it. That's the way a immutable law works. And before we go on, I really want you guys to expand on this idea of the consciousness of entitlement. Can you say what you mean by that in simpler language?
Basically, what we're saying is we're giving with the sole purpose of why we give is to get. And I'm entitled to this. I deserve to get this because I gave it. And it really, it's not just tenfold return, but it's also the expectation we put on a gift. For example, if you give money to a person standing on the corner and you get upset if that person then uses it to buy cigarettes or alcohol or whatever, or drugs, you know, then you have put, if you give it as a gift freely, that should be the end of it. You don't care how it's used. You're giving it with the intent to help yes. that person in some way. That's probably an extreme example, but still.
But it's not extreme in the way, particularly using examples Sarah just shared with someone on the street. There's a reason they're on the street. They obviously aren't doing very well in their skin school experience, or they wouldn't be begging on the street. So when you give whatever you give to someone, $5, $10, $1, $20, what you're doing, the return really is for the person on the street, because what you're suggesting to that person with your gift is that they have value as a human being.
Right.
And mm-hmm. how greater gift can you give someone than that?
Yes. So you're saying in a very concrete way, you are worth having this money.
Absolutely.
Okay. And when you're doing that, then you step out of the sense of giving from guilt.
Yes.
Feeling guilty that you have and they don't.
Right. Right. And it's a consciousness difference.
It's a huge difference in consciousness. Yes.
And we believe so much of our spiritual enrichment is based on what's happening in our consciousness.
Yes.
And you're the one who knows what's in your consciousness. You know why you're giving. It kind of goes back to that story about the prayers in the Bible, where the ones who stand on the corner and give these big prayers and it's all for show. And the better person is the one who just prays within and doesn't make a big show out of it.
Well, the widow's mite.
And the widow's mite is another example.
The widow's mite, yes. Mm-hmm. So which of these other quotes do you want to do?
So, well, let me share one other thing around the 10%, because what we've done with rewriting it, our truth around that is the universal prosperity principle of receiving and giving cycle. And that giving and receiving is how most people talk about it. But giving increases your consciousness of abundance, because whenever you're giving from that, you only give when you have an awareness that I have enough. Right. So if you can give from that awareness of abundance in your consciousness, we take the word tithe as an acronym and turn it into the indwelling truth harmoniously increases never-ending good, T-I-T-H-I-N-G. And so that flips the whole consciousness of what we give and why we give. And there's some science around it too.
Yeah, in neurobiology, a giving consciousness is nestled within the same frontal regions of the brain that are activated by awe, wonder, joy, and transcendence. And an internal coherence results, which fortifies your immune system, strengthens the neural pathways in the frontal lobe, and arrests the feelings of fear and uncertainty, which are the products of the amygdala. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is really fabulous stuff. Yes.
So there's science to support what we're all saying about this.
Yeah, so this consciousness of giving is important. And of course, I have to add, we give because we are the principle of generosity and we are the principle of benevolence. In our giving, we prove that to ourselves.
Exactly.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, yeah, it's like a stamp of acknowledgement.
Well, it's outer evidence of an inner truth.
Yeah.
And of course, it has to be without any expectation of return from the people that you give it to. Because then again, you're back into an entitlement situation. And we want to give with that sense of purity. And we talk about the cycle of giving and receiving. And I know you guys believe more like I do that giving and receiving, when we're doing it in consciousness, we're the ones that are receiving. If what I give, I receive the benefit of that in my consciousness.
Yeah.
And that is sufficient unto itself.
Yeah. And realize that we're talking about the difference between a gift and a contract.
Right.
Because if you set up a contract with somebody, then they are going to do these things and you are going to give this for that, or vice versa. So there's a reciprocal understanding there. That's totally different than what we're talking about here, which is those gifts of generosity.
Yeah, when I give my $3 to Starbucks for my tall, I forget what I call it, chaffee, which is a coffee with chocolate.
Chaffee.
I am entitled to that coffee.
Yes, yes.
It's a business transaction.
Business transaction, absolutely.
And you're entitled to the quality of the drink that they promise.
Exactly. Now, I want to be really clear about this. That divine principle and law is present in business as well.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes we talk about business and spirituality being as separate as the belief that science and spirituality are separate. But the divine and principles and laws are everywhere totally present. They exist in business and they exist in science. And then it's how do those principles apply in a business situation?
And so that's where integrity would come in, the integrity of your promise and what you give versus what you charge.
Yes.
That kind of thing would all fit in there, and just stay in integrity.
And the three of us believe in value added.
Yes.
We give a little more than what the business transaction says.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So when I teach classes, I give people stuff that isn't within the course itself. That's the value added. And I always tell them, what do you need me for if all they do is talk about what's in the book?
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Hands up. Awesome.
Awesome. So let's pivot now to the absolute word, which is for Sunday, March 7th, 2021. And we always want to remind our devoted and wonderful listeners that the absolute word is based on Sunday and messages appearing in Daily Word, which is a copyrighted Unity publication and has been used with permission. And we appreciate their generosity in allowing us to do this. So the words for March 7th are world peace, world peace. I am peace in the world. I am peace in the world. The road to peace begins with my open-hearted acceptance of those who are different than me. We are fully divine and fully human. In our divinity, we are one. In our humanity, we are gloriously diverse. Our world is vast and diverse. Its people create a wide variety of cultures and histories. The more I learn about those whose lives differ from mine, the more I can appreciate their perspectives and empathize with their struggles. When I make the decision to deeply listen and understand, my judgment fades as my compassion grows. Today, I sow peace through acceptance, understanding, and compassion. Peace in the world grows as I join my brothers and sisters in the celebrating the glory of our human diversity while experiencing oneness in our divinity. I am peace in the world. I like to say that I am a stand for peace in the world.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
All right. Well, friends, thank you for listening to Metaphysical Romp. I thank you, Bill and Cher, and we're always grateful for our listeners. And of course, this is a program we give to you with our hearts full of joy. And so for now, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off, saying goodbye.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you for listening. And we love being able to celebrate the oneness of our divinity and the glorious diversity of our humanity together.
And this is Reverend Doc Bill, and we'll all three catch you later.